The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Let's turn to our weekly TV spot with Joe O'Shea and Jennifer Gannon. And the return of the Wonder Years. Which one of you is a fan of the Wonder Years?
I was a big fan. Yeah,
both of you. Excellent. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Joe, you just about got in there first. Why did you like it so much?
I loved it. I remember it debuted in 88 and it ran until 93. And it was very different at the time from a lot of TV. And one of the reasons I loved it was I was really into 60s music at the time. And if people remember it, it was sort of like it was narrated by this older character, a kid who'd grown up in the 60s. And he was looking back on his life and he'd have all these poignant moments. And there'd be these moments where he'd go, and that was the moment I realized I wasn't a kid anymore. And then, you know, they'd bring in Turn or something like that, or some great 60s hit. But that was actually one of the reasons why the Wonder Years disappeared and wasn't seen on DVD or VHS, is because they couldn't afford to pay for the licensing. They'd used so many classic rock songs and so many classic pop songs from the 60s that it was too expensive to license them for streaming as well. And actually, they did bring it back to to one of the streaming services, and what they had to do was cut out all of the 60s music, the original tracks, and put in kind of fake kind of, you know, versions of the Mamas and the Papas and stuff like that so they could get around the licensing problem. But it's coming back. So I don't know. It's getting a fairly radical reboot, because instead of a white family growing up in the 60s, it's going to be a black family growing up in Montgomery, Alabama, at the height of the turbulent civil rights years, the civil rights movement. And it's very interesting, because if they get it right, I think it could be a really, really big show. I think it really could go over and get a huge audience.
Okay, why did you like it, Jennifer?
I think it was because they had a daughter called Paige in it, and I was obsessed with her because, A, her name was Paige, and there was no Paige in Ireland. That was just not a name you ever heard in Ireland. And Paige was an out-and-out hippie, and she went to all the dropout kind of stuff, and she was the kind of rebel of the family and kind of disappeared from the family, and I was fascinated. I loved her story because I was kind of interested, even like when I was younger, with the whole Manson family thing. So I was obsessed with cults, and I just thought Paige was the kind of person that'd be ripe to be like a Manson girl. So I was imagining Wonder Years. But I think it's actually really important, this reboot, because it's actually Lee Daniels who's doing it. And I think he's a great choice because he's the king of films that are about tough issues, but they have this sentimental edge. And the thing that the Wonder Years had was this gorgeous sentimentality and nostalgia about it. And he's done stuff like Precious and The Butler. And they're both hard-hitting films in their own way, but they have this emotional core to them. So I do think he's the right person for the job, but we'll see whether or not it's going to take off like that. But Kevin Arnold from The Wonder Years, the actor Fred Savage, he's going to be actually back to direct episodes of it, they said. So that'll be an interesting about.
Let's hear a little bit of The Wonder Years for those who remember it or for those who haven't heard of it before. Here's the scene in which Kevin Arnold attends the school dance.
All our young lives, we search for someone to love. Someone who makes us complete. We choose partners and change partners. Dance to a song of heartbreak and hope. All the while wondering if somewhere, somehow, there's someone perfect who might be searching for us.
Thank you. Nostalgia fest there with the Wonder Years. I wonder in years to come, will people see Normal People as nostalgia? Before we have our latest Normal People story, let's have a clip from the series in which Marianne got in trouble at school.
Tried to impress your classmates. Jesus. They don't look too impressed to me.
I'm pretty sure I was just looking out the window.
Come on, Sheridan.
If you're staring out the window daydreaming, then you're not learning, are you, Marianne?
Don't delude yourself. I have nothing to learn from you.
Okay, in that case, principal's office.
Yeah, I might go there. Or I might just head home. It's not really your business what I do, is it?
Don't worry, sir, she's a psycho to everybody.
Do you want to follow her for me?
Of course, we also heard news today, CAO applications for Trinity College for the new year up 11% apparently on the back of Normal People. We'll see, I suppose, Jennifer, just how popular it is in the UK as well, with the nominations for the TV Choice Awards are voted for by members of the public. Who's up for awards and who are they up against?
Well, we've got, you know, Paul Mescal and Daisy Edgar-Jones are both up for nominations for both, you know, their performances. And I think, you know, to be honest with you, Normal People, I think, is going to smash any awards they're nominated for. And no shade, but I think the fact that the series actually came out this year and was broadcast this year, it's obviously a huge bonus, you know, for them. And I can see it winning these awards, even though I know that Daisy Edgar-Jones, she's up against Jodie Comer in Killing Eve. But I think that time has passed for Killing Eve now this season, and a lot of people have been as enthusiastic about it or have loved it as much. And Michelle Keegan is up for it from Our Girl, and I just don't think that show is rated highly enough by people. And I do think that, you know, I can see it not only winning these awards, but I definitely it's going to smash the BAFTAs. And I think Hulu will be back into Handmaid's Tale level of award nods when the Emmys roll around. I definitely think it's in for a shout with the Emmys for Best Drama, Best Acting nods. I think Paul Mescal's performance will probably edge out Daisy Edgar-Jones in terms of just range, I think, and the fact that the industry, they really love to garland like a newcomer, an ingenue. So I think he will definitely sweep the board, I think, for all of those acting gongs. And I know that it's up against David Tennant in the Critics' Choice for Deadwater Fell, which was a brilliant performance. But I think, you know, David Tennant has had his day with those kind of awards, and I think now is the time to push in the newcomers.
Okay. I see, Joe, let's move to something else. And I don't know what the situation is here for old age pensioners and the TV licence, but it seems pretty mean-spirited, but provoked by financial need at the BBC, that over 75s are no longer going to get a free TV licence in the UK.
Yeah, well, I can tell you what the situation is in Ireland. If you're over 70, you can apply for a free TV licence as part of the household benefits package. Now, you can also get a free TV licence in Ireland if you're under 70 in certain circumstances, if you're entitled to certain benefits. So that's the situation here. In England, it's been a real political football for quite a while. The BBC has really wanted to get rid of the over 75 free licence for everybody there. It's costing them a lot of money. They're saying it's costing them £35 million a month to not have over 75s paying the TV licence. What they are planning to do is from the 1st of August, they'll be asking 3 million households of over 75s to pay for their TV licence. It will be some way means tested in that if you're entitled to certain benefits in the UK, you will not have to pay for this license, but actually most people will. The BBC say they have to do it. The BBC has brought in, as we know, tens of millions of pounds worth of cuts. They're laying off hundreds and hundreds of people. They're really taking the axe to a lot of their local regional radio stations, and they're facing a dire financial situation. They're saying they have to do it. The government in the UK is saying that it's the wrong decision. And there's been a lot of public pushback on this. So it looks like the BBC is going to go ahead with it. They are planning to go ahead with it, but it's going to cause a lot of controversy in the UK.
Okay, wonder what RTE is going to do to reduce its costs, which, of course, the entire media industry here in Ireland suffering very badly from the reduction in advertising revenues. RTE, of course, having the buffer of the licence fee. In case we run out of time, let's get picks of the week. Jennifer, what are you going for?
Yeah, mine is The Plot Against America, and it's starting on Sky Atlantic next Tuesday at 9 o'clock. So this is based on the Philip Roth novel, which is just a fantastic novel for anybody that hasn't read it. Start now, do it really quickly. So it's a dystopian drama, and it's set in an alternate reality, and it's written and executively produced by David Simon and Ed Burns from The Wire. So it's set in an alternative American history during World War II, and the story centers on a working class Jewish family in New Jersey, and they're forced to watch the political rise of Charles Lindbergh, who's, you know, the aviation hero, but also like a xenophobic populist. So Lindbergh ends up becoming president, defeating Franklin D. Roosevelt in the 1940s election, and he threatens to turn the country towards fascism, which, you know, doesn't sound prescient in any way at all, as we know. But it's got a stellar cast. It's got Zoe Kazan, Winona Ryder, and John Turturro. And I'm really hoping, because there's been several disappointing film and TV adaptations of Philip Roth's work, so I'm just hoping that this will be the one that goes to some way to kind of match this really powerful book. And the writing is just fantastic. So I'm hoping this mix of David Simon adapting Philip Roth will be outstanding.
This is a series, it's not a one-off, is it?
It's a series. It's going to be, I think it's 6 parts, I'm not sure.
Well, because a book like that can't be turned into a one-off movie, which often is, so that's why probably turning it into a series gives it a better shot of doing justice. Okay, that's one I'm definitely going to try as well. Joe, what's your pick?
Well, we're really in the dog days of summer broadcasting now and scheduling lots of repeats. So I'm going to go for, I think I can't miss, kind of a surefire hit and one that will deliver a lot of happy memories. Live Aid, Against the Odds and Rocking All Over the World. It's a two-part documentary looking at the history and the events that we all remember, especially if you grew up in the 80s. And it was about this, around this time, back in 86, I think it was. So it's looking, the first part is on tonight on BBC4 at 11 p.m. And it starts off with Bob Geldof and trying to get this crazy idea off the ground, trying to do something that nobody ever had done before. Two massive concerts on two different continents in the same day, lining up the very cream of pop and rock aristocracy. And then tomorrow night on BBC Two, so it's BBC Four tonight at 11, BBC Two tomorrow night at 9:15, the second part, which is the triumphant Rocking All Over the World, the actual two gigs themselves. Now, it's interesting, they've gone right back and they've talked to people like Geldof, obviously, but Meteor, who was very closely involved, but kind of in the shadow of the Dubliner, Harvey Goldsmith, who was really involved, a very high-powered promoter at the time, also Elton John, the memories of him, David Bowie, Paul McCartney, members of U2 are involved, and members of Queen are reminiscing as well. So, listen, it's fantastic nostalgia, and I think if you love music, if you can remember Live Aid, you're going to really enjoy this.
Okay. The Crown on Netflix. We're still waiting for season 4 to be completed and released. We had been told, Jen, that season 5 is going to be the end, but it now turns out there will be a series 6, but there's a bit of a kicker in that.
Yeah, it's not as exciting as it sounds. So there won't be any Megxit. There's not going to be, you know, Prince Andrew's trip to Pizza Express. And season 6 is going to be a deeper exploration of what's going on in season 5. So I guess what it means is that season 6 is going to be a more in-depth look at Diana and what happened with Diana. I don't think it could be anything else. And I really wish they'd reconsider, because Peter Morgan is just insistent that the tabloid revelations during the whole Charles and Camilla affair will not be touched on, which I think, honestly, is a terrible decision making for drama. That kind of drama and scandal is TV gold, and it made that whole era, made the royals out to be more exciting than they actually, well, we know they're probably more exciting than we think they are. But you know, I just think if they skip the boring bits in the mid to late 80s and get to the proper juicy stuff, they have this opportunity that they, you know, Meghan is free now, she could play herself if they did the modern ones, and she has such Kendall Roy energy. They're just missing out on this, I think, by just focusing on the 80s and the 90s. But I mean, I think people have found like the last season a bit dreary, so maybe after season 4 they could cut their losses and instead of going chronologically, they could just dip in and out to more exciting stuff, or do a Black Mirror on it, a Bandersnatch, and you could choose your own ending to what happens to the royals, because it's coming up to finishing time for them, I think.
All right, look, we better leave it there. Jennifer Gannon and Joe O'Shea, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.